Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer, WNYC. Don't forget you can listen to our election season podcast, Digesting Politics. Every week between now and Election Day, Ozzie Pabra, Bob Henley, Andrea Bernstein, and I get together over lunch to talk politics in a 15-minute podcast. We'll record a new one this afternoon. Get the free Digesting Politics podcast at our politics website. It's freecountry.org. According to our next guest, Ellen Galinsky, there are seven essential life skills that all children need to be well-rounded and achieve their full potential. We teach our children information, facts, figures, and concepts. But equally important, argues Galinsky, we need to teach our children life skills to navigate the stressful, distracted, and rushed world that we live in. Skills like the ability to focus or to communicate well. Through mastering these skills, she says, a child will not only survive but thrive. And Ellen Galinsky's new book is called Mind in the Making, the seven essential life skills that every child needs. Welcome back to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
How'd you come up with seven life skills? It's because every self-help book needs to have a number seven in it?
Well, I really started with six, and then at one point I had eight. I didn't start out to write a book. I was looking at the research on how children learn because I was worried that so many kids are dropping out of learning, even if they're not dropping out of school. And so I went out and began to film the very best research on children's learning and children's development. And in doing that, I found that there were certain skills that began to emerge in children that we don't pay much attention to, we don't necessarily promote, but that help children thrive now and in the future. And when I made list after list after list of what they were, it came down to seven.
When we've spoken to you and your colleagues in the past from the Families and Work Institute, it's been about policy.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have, you know, been tireless advocates for family-friendly policies in the workplace and for government to help foster those. This is a personal book. Why did you go in this direction?
I have always been involved in education. I am an educator. That's the way I think of myself. I taught children. I worked at Bank Street College for 25 years. And I became increasingly concerned about what was happening with children and learning. In fact, I didn't start out to even do anything like this. I was going to do a study on how young people see learning along the series that we've been doing called Ask the Children, where we looked at how kids saw their employed parents or how kids saw violence. And this was to be my next one. But I had to take a detour. I couldn't write that book because I found so many kids, again, turned off by learning, no fire in their eyes. And I found that adults were confused about what learning is. Is it, as the Waiting for Superman film shows, shows kids with cutting off the tops of their heads and pouring in numbers and letters. And that's a popular conception of learning that is completely out of sync with what we know from research.
Parents and others, we have time for a few questions for Ellen Galinsky. You can call in and talk to her about these ideas in her new book, Mind in the Making, The Seven Essential Life Skills That Every Child Needs. Does this make sense to you? Is it hard for you to pour these life skills into the children's heads along with the letters and numbers? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. We can only take a call or two, but if you want to get in on this, call us right now, 212-433-9692. Since it's just seven skills, I will list them. Focus and self-control, perspective taking, communicating, making connections, critical thinking, taking on challenges, and self-directed engaged learning. And these are all so obviously needed for the development of a well-rounded child. Probably heads were nodding out there. You know, in unison as I was reading the list, but also thinking, well, that's just common sense. I kind of knew that. How am I helped by seeing it written down in this way?
Actually, it's not such common sense. If it were common sense, we would do it, and I wouldn't have needed to spend 10 years writing this book, which is what it took me, interviewing and filming the very best research. I think what I've had the opportunity to do, to work hard so other people don't have to, is to look at volumes of new research on how children's brains develop. And for example, we think of helping kids cope with stress, but we don't think about teaching them to take on challenges. So we think about empathy, but we don't think about helping children learn to read the thoughts and feelings of other people, and yet that's critical in preventing violence and conflict. So there's a lot that we've learned from research that I think is leads to a lot of aha moments.
Does a family's socioeconomic status play into this book or into parents' ability to teach their children these skills? For example, we know that there is a correlation between children not doing well in school and the education levels of their own parents, because it makes it harder for less educated, you know, grown-ups to help children.
Yes, I honestly have concluded after, again, this 10 years of research, that if we don't intentionally promote these skills in schools and at home, that we're not going to really be able to address the achievement gap. We have been, for example, just measuring the achievement gap by kids' test scores, but we also have to measure it by their engagement in learning. Businesses know that engagement is very critical to an organization's success. Engagement is very critical to children's success. And these are things that any parent, regardless of their socioeconomic status or how busy they are, can do, everyday things. And some low-income families who are struggling with feeding their children do them. Some don't. But I think we need to make them more well-known.
Ed in Manhattan, you're on WNYC with Ellen Galinsky. Hi, right to the point.
Yes. Hi, Ellen. It's Ed Miller.
Hi,
I wanted
Ed.
To ask you if you might just talk for a minute about the role of children's play in developing those seven essential skills. Great to hear you.
Well, last week there was a big event in Central Park called the Ultimate Block Party that brought the science and art of play together with 50,000 parents. So take the issue of perspective taking. How do we learn to read other people's minds, which is what researchers call theory of mind? It's by trying on other people's perspectives. Again, it's more than empathy. It's really understanding how someone else thinks and feels. And so play, by children pretending, that really helps them learn. Also, children are much more likely to be engaged in learning if they are given experiences in playful learning. It doesn't mean that it's not hard, but it means that it's really capturing their engagement. So if you're studying the Greeks of old, to put on a play about it helps you figure out what they would eat, what they would say, what they would do.
Beth in Mahwah, you're on WNYC. Hi, Beth.
Hi. I was wondering, can these essential applications be applied when you have a sophomore in college, or does it mostly have to be done in early childhood?
What is so wonderful, Beth, about these life skills is that they all take place in the prefrontal cortex of the brain. That's the last part of the brain to develop. We used to think that the brain development stopped when they were children were young. We now know a lot about teenagers and how rapid their brain development is. Even the research on aging is showing how important the prefrontal cortex is. So there are four points about these skills. First, that any child can learn them. Second, any adult can promote them. Third, they don't take expensive equipment or toys. And finally, that it's never too late. So that it's never too late. Sophomores can learn them. And I've been getting a lot of calls from businesses saying that they would like to teach how to take on challenges, or how to learn to work in diverse teams, or how to think critically to adults.
Eleanor in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Eleanor.
Good morning. I have a grandson who's got Asperger's, and I was wondering, can he be taught empathy and reading other people's, expressions and feelings?
And people on the Asperger's syndrome, you could expand to other special needs if you want.
Yes.
And the brain research must come so much into play on this.
There are beginning to be experiments to take children's with Asperger's or with ADHD and to promote executive function skills. And executive function skills, that sounds like some guy in a pinstripe suit bossing you around in your head. It isn't that at all. It's where the brain pulls together its social, emotional, and intellectual capacities. It's like a whiteboard that coordinates the whole system, which is why they're so important. If you promote these skills, these researchers argue, then we're going to either prevent some kinds of these disabilities or at least reduce them. I know a lot of parents of children who have older kids with these particular issues who say that they have worked very successfully with them. Again, the research is in its infancy, but it certainly can't hurt.
We have 30 seconds left. Having reviewed all this brain and learning research, is there a study you'd really like to see done that hasn't been done yet?
The one we've just been talking about, I would love to see what happens when we actively intervene in promoting these skills. There is so much research that shows that these skills help children thrive and thrive socially, thrive emotionally, thrive intellectually into their 40s. If we could now look at how promoting these skills at home or in school and see how they make a difference, that would be terrific.
Ellen Galinsky, president and co-founder of the Families and Work Institute, is now the author of Mind in the Making, the 7 Essential Life Skills Every Child Needs. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC.